So what up, you guys? Welcome to LO Designs Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren, owner of LO Design Studio. And on this podcast, we talk about the struggle of being a creative. So if you are a creative and you are always struggling, feel free to tune into this week's episode and enjoy. And please feel free to subscribe to the podcast. Okay, so what up, you guys? Today we have Sumara as a podcast guest. So Sumara, if you could just introduce yourself, like who you are, background, all that jazz.
Yeah, my name is Sumara, but most people just call me CEO because that's a bit easier for most people. And I was born and raised in LA. I'm a first gen American. Both my parents immigrated to the US in their 20s from Mexico and Argentina. And yeah, grew up in LA and I've always been an art and design nerd and graduated from the Rhode Island School of Design in 2020. So fully virtually on Zoom, but I think I probably got the better end of things just, you know, with how things have panned out. I've been grateful enough to have so many different opportunities within design. So my work has been kind of all over the place in regards to different industries, but I'm currently working at Starface. And so working in beauty and skincare, and I love my job. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you like so many questions about this too. So like, how is like working in the beauty industry? Like I have an interest in that personally. Mm-hmm. But how is that like on design, you know, life? And
Yeah. So this is my first time working in beauty. And it's different too. I feel like I can't speak to the whole industry just because Starface is a startup. So it's kind of like this in between space, which I kind of love. But a lot of my coworkers have come from fashion or beauty. So I've been definitely learning a lot from them and just how that world works. But I feel like we kind of stand out amongst a lot of competitors because Starface is all about just embracing your acne and celebrating it versus I feel like a lot of other brands tend to use the rhetoric like erase or smooth, mm-hmm. like clean, like it's so much more about that. So I think that our patches definitely stand out in that regard, but then also learning about how so much of our consumers, I think for both beauty and food now, are really want like that whole like natural, clean, yes. essence with everything. So even though our skincare products are kick ass, like the ingredients are almost the same that you would find in like a Youth to the People sort of cleanser, for example, but because they're such brightly colored, I feel like people don't know that, or they think, oh, it's not going to be like a good product. And we also really push on having like affordable products too. So I wonder if people think, oh, because it's not $60, is it not this high end thing? But it definitely still can be. So yeah, just really understanding how like rebranding something can really change like what the consumer thinks of the product, regardless of like what's inside.
Yeah, that's the thing. You said Starface and I'm like, this brand is amazing. First of all, when it comes to cosmetics, I just love brands that do that, like that take the natural and like with sustainability. But how did you get like a job like that, you know, in the beginning?
I mean, it kind of, people ask me all the time, like, oh, how do you like get these jobs or like, how do you have freelance stuff? And I feel like it's all honestly been like one job has just led to the next. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, like my first job out of school was actually working in data visualization, and I had never really worked with data before, and like understanding like what it is and what A/B testing is and how that works really well with design. And that's actually something that happens a bunch. And then from there, I landed a job at Nickelodeon working in YouTube, but that was so much about data and A/B testing. And so I don't think I would have gotten that job if it weren't for the one prior, even though they're not really connected at all. Mm-hmm. But then because that job was a lot of branding and working with like working with characters like SpongeBob that have been established for a really long time, I feel like that really lent itself well to Starface, or at least I think it helped me a bit there. But It's all really been because of RISD, honestly, like just like the connections I've made through like career events. We also have like not official LinkedIn, but like a job posting site for RISD that's like specifically employees looking for RISD students. And so that's how I found the posting through there. I mean, I honestly could have just found it though going on their website, but that is just where I look typically for jobs when I have in the past, or at least I did when I was like looking for internships in school. But I think that that's just because RISD has such prestige, and like it's historically been an amazing school, and the alum are like super talented. So I just think that either other designers already work there and sort of heard of us, or they just know the reputation. But my manager actually went to grad school with one of my professors.
Oh, wow.
So she was like, oh, I should look for RISD students. So I guess that was like the most like specific connection, but it wasn't like that professor had recommended me or anything. It was more just like, he had just suggested, oh, you should look at RISD students. So it's
cool.
All kind of luck in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And even just connecting, or even having the opportunity to just apply, like I still had to do like a design test, which so many design jobs require. And like, that was all me. So even like, and like, I'm thankful for RISD at least getting my foot in the door, but I think a lot of it too has to be like luck and timing and what you do for your test and what they're looking for too. I don't know.
and how is art school, like how was art school for you? Because I feel like so many people have different like point of views of like art school and design school. So many people can't go. And I feel like as like, just to hear from your perspective and your point of view of what art school is like, I don't know. I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like some people are like really adverse to it for whatever reason. Some people think that it's like just like fooling around all the time, like just like, I don't know, painting and not really thinking about much. But I always knew I wanted to go to art school. I especially like RISD was always number one just because of the rigor. It was like super difficult. Like I never had weekends, honestly, when I was in school, because I was just in studio for so many hours working, especially freshman year, where my studios were 8 hours long plus 8 hours of work.
Yeah,
afterwards. I miss it every day, just like that community and the critique. But also there was a lot of competition in my department, especially just because, you know, we're all applying to the same jobs at the end of the day. So there was always this pressure of not only do you want to like complete the assignment, but I also wanted it to be really good. And I always felt like the best projects always fit like the three requirements. And they're not even like physical requirements that were like on the assignment. It's just like you wanted something that was well made, that like felt new and different, which is so challenging because like I feel like everything is just a rip of something that already exists. And then thirdly, if it could like somehow tackle like a human rights issue, you were like, you had completed the challenge. So I always say that like art school feels like RuPaul's Drag Race, because it truly is like you're given a prompt, you have to just like quickly think on your feet, like, am I gonna use a skill I already have, am I gonna try a new skill, like we're going to go with this. Like you really don't know half the time, but I think it helped me so much, like to generate work really quickly and a lot of work and to try different mediums. And so I don't think I would be the designer that I am today if it weren't for those 4 years. And I learned a ton. So I don't regret it by any means.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
No, the thing is too, like I feel like art school really changed me as well, like just seeing like how, you know, because we in the beginning our school, like School of Visual Arts, like I was kind of like, this is what I went to art school for, and it's so expensive. Yeah. But I feel like the learning that you get and the education you get is, it's worth it if you make it worth it. I think
totally.
I feel like some people don't take advantage of it. And it's kind of hard
for sure. I feel like I was always constantly telling myself like the resources you have access to, you'll never have access to again. Like from the like laser cutter to like these amazing printers, but also to like, we had in our library a special collections, which was like art from past alumni that they've submitted. So it's just like, and you could just go
to
and make
see.
an appointment and just like look at it. And it's like, those are references that we'll never have access to. And now we all can only can really just go to the internet or like our local library to find like resources. But like resources like that are insane. Like I remember when I was really into like art bookmaking and like thinking about like pop-ups and like foldouts, like that was such a fun place to explore. And yeah, I know it definitely is super expensive. And so I'm really grateful that RISD was able to provide me with like enough aid and scholarship for me to be able to go, and also with the support of my parents. But I know that's not possible for everyone. And yeah, there's definitely like that part of art school too. I think that when you go, it's exciting because you think like, oh, I can make all this like protest like work, and this is such a progressive place. And it definitely is. But I think at the same time, like we have to remember that like universities, any university is still like a business at the end of the day. I think COVID definitely showed that.
Oh yeah.
Just in the way they dealt with so much. But I mean, if you think about it, like a part of this like consumerist like pile, then you are like, yeah, then you could think like, oh, I should take advantage of this as much as I can, like use it for all its resources, use it for all its connections, like mm-hmm. At least that's how I thought about it, like I'm gonna get as much of this experience as I possibly can.
Oh yeah, that's true. I think that's important.
Yeah.
And as far as being like a Latinx student, like how was that experience, like the representation of like, you know, showing, you know, towards the Latinx community?
It's kind of crazy. I feel like I definitely have like a very specific experience, because even though I grew up in LA, I went to a predominantly white middle school and high school. Like I was one of the only, if not the only Latina in my grade. So going to RISD was like, which is crazy because you would think Rhode Island, like Providence, like why would that be more diverse than LA? But that's really where I started to meet a lot of other Latinx people and also be inspired by them. Like there was a girl just 1 year above me, but all of her work was just about her identity and feeling like sexy and strong about it and using all these like really iconic like colors. I remember feeling like so starstruck but also so inspired, and I really enjoyed that. But I also, the Latinx community in general is still quite small. Like within graphic design, my roommate and I were the only Latinx. Like there were, I think, 3 or 4 Latinx students in total within graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
So it still felt like we were one of very few. And even like meeting more Latinx people, it was also my first time meeting like they were predominantly from New York or Florida. And so typically they're like from Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic or Cuba or Venezuela, which is amazing. But I was also still like one of the few Mexican/Argentinian people there. So it's like it was awesome to like meet them and get that experience, but also still feeling like, okay, like there's more of us, but there's still not like a lot of us, and mm-hmm. there's not one of us from every single country.
It's like you're still in your bubble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're still one of few, but it was definitely like the most exposure I had ever really had, even coming from LA.
That's exciting. See, that seems fun more than my point of view, because the thing is, I've been starting to even look at like even jobs. I feel like in the industry itself, it's been I'm not saying it's hard to like find like Latinx within jobs, but I'm starting to notice that too, like just the agencies I've been working at, like it's kind of like different with the dynamic. Like I don't know, I feel like a lot of it is majority white, but I feel like I feel inspired when I see other like people of color still in the agencies and still working, and I still try to connect with them as well. That makes me curious, I guess.
No, I think it really depends on like the studio and the business, because like for example, like Starface is predominantly female, but also there's like a ton of Latinx women on my team and in the team as a whole, which I've never really experienced before. But that is like, because I think it's because it's like a startup and one of the founders is a woman. Like, I think that they've made sort of decisions in order to have those like diversity picks. But also at the same time, beauty in general is very female dominated. But I think race wise, they've done also a great job. It's not just a lot of women. But I know that when I worked in data visualization, like it was a huge struggle, even though my boss was like very adamant about wanting it to be 50-50 when it came to gender. It was just like there weren't a lot of women in like data and science, really, or even like developers, because half the team is developers and the other half were designers. Mm. There were always like female design applicants, but there really were never like that many female developer applicants. And so, although, but I feel like that's more of a conversation about like the greater system, right? Like about coding and STEM and like women lacking in that, just even wanting to go get their degree in that prior to like even applying to that job. Yeah.
And as far as like bringing that up to your like studio or company, like how would you go about that? I don't know, just in a sense, because I feel like me, I don't know what I would do. Probably be like, hey, like we need some diversity. But just other ideas of that.
I mean, at that studio it was super open because all of us were involved in the hiring process and there were only like 10 or 12 of us, so we were all doing the interviews and it was like a conversation. And I mean, it was quite apparent even on Zoom just looking at like the squares. Yeah, but it is also a tricky conversation. And also you don't want to do the opposite of just like shut out a really amazing applicant just because they're not a woman or just because they're not a certain race. Like you want to find the fine line between the two.
I think it's like having those resources where they can still feel comfortable, I think, will make it a lot better too. Because it's like, you know, like I feel like having that open like sense of dialogue too, like you're able to talk about this, I feel like that's what makes it a lot more comfortable.
I feel like the most direct advice would be to like just go to your HR person if your studio has one, but I know that in a lot of design studios sometimes that's non-existent, so that can be like tricky. But I think managers are super great if you have like a great relationship with them and you feel comfortable.
Because even though like it's not predominantly people of color, I still feel like I'm able to still say things, or I'm still able to talk or voice my opinion on certain things that I want to talk about. So I feel like that dialogue is important too, that like studios need to have with like either interns or like people that they're hiring. It's just like you're able to speak your mind and you won't get shut out, you know.
But
how is it like you know, as far as like working in the real world? Just because I don't know, I'm what is it like? Because I don't know, like I'm in a position where like I'm about to be in my senior year, I'm about to finish college, so it's like when you're about to go into like the real world and you're about to start working, it can really be like not traumatizing or just like suspenseful, just because it's like, okay, I'm about to finish college, so it's like going into the real world, like finding jobs, like other things like that, like any advice you have in that process, I guess.
If honestly, my biggest recommendation is to take a break before working.
I heard this twice today, so like, that's just my cue. Like, take a break.
No, because I started working like the week after I graduated, and yes, I graduated remotely because of Zoom, but regardless, like I didn't take that time to really process what I just experienced like the last 4 years, and not just like in a sentimental way of like, oh, I'm gonna miss it, but like truly, like I was you know, not eating enough, not sleeping enough for years for my work, and then to then go into a real job is like you need that space in between to really process and then be ready to like put your all into your next job. And not that I wasn't able to do that when I started my job, but I found that like 6 months into my first job out of college, that like burnout really started to like pile up. And on top of that, I was doing freelance work on the side because it was COVID and there really wasn't much going on. So I was like, I can do two jobs, but like, I really was pushing myself. So then when I realized that I was going to move back to Los Angeles and I decided to take like a break between my jobs, I gave myself 3 months off, and I thankfully had enough saved to do that, which I know is not possible for everyone, but it was almost like I got that summer back post graduating that I had it like a year and a half later. But it was honestly so wonderful. And I think because I took that pause, it helped me find Starface, like truly, because I like took my time with it. There wasn't this pressure of like, you need a job right this second. And so I was really able to like find what I wanted rather than just going for the first thing that was open.
Yeah, see, that's I'm so happy to hear that, because I feel like it's so hard to like just like, because I feel guilty sometimes when I take a break. Like I took like a break for like, I would say the beginning of the summer for like 2 or 3 months, just because after like junior year I was really burnt out, because it's like I was trying to do like freelance, school, and an internship, and then it's like all of that in one is just too much. And then you take a break and you're kind of like, okay, I really like, my body needs a break. And then it's like in that break, you know, in the beginning you're like, okay, but then I begin to feel guilty sometimes just because it's like, you know, the pressure of like, you need to get a job, you need to do this, you need to save money, you have to pay loans, all of that in one. But I feel like hearing other people say like, you know, it's good to take a break and it helps you figure out what to do next, so that your career is kind of like set.
And I, you know, you still, I mean, I would hope that you still have like your family to help, you know what I mean? Like there's like, you have these opportunities yet without that pressure of like, hey, you're like 5 years into your career. Like you kind of like, you're on your own basically. So like take advantage of that, that you're not fully on your own just yet and paying rent and paying like taxes and all those things. Cause then that's when it's actually like a super stressor if you do lose your job or if you do leave your job, because then there's these like payments. But when you come right out of college, I feel like
you got that freedom.
You at least
a
can
bit.
Have 3 months. Yeah, you at least have a little bit of time before you need to start like, and also now with Biden helping out with loans, hopefully that helps a lot of people have bit more of a break. And
Biden helping out with loans,
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm thinking back to the original question, which was like, what advice? No, there's all that pressure to like get a job, like, which is the same pressure I feel like high schoolers feel to go to college. Like you have to go to college, you have to go to a prestigious, like all this anxiety. But then nobody talks about the anxiety once you have a job. Like job anxiety is like so real, like from second guessing the tone of like what your manager said, especially over Zoom.
Oh my
where
God,
you feel
yes.
So isolated sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like it can be something as simple as that to like, am I doing enough? Or like imposter syndrome is super real. Like I especially felt that in my first job because I was working in an industry that I was not super comfortable in, or I was just not as familiar with. And so that became like just like overwhelming over time. And so like, yeah, there's all that pressure to like, just get a job. But no one talks about like everything that comes after. So again, like it's really important to have a break before that so that you're able to handle it. And also I think like once you do have a job, regardless of if you're in person or not, it's super important to have like some semblance of a routine just to like feel like you're transitioning from life to work and work mm-hmm. like with other people. Cause I feel like what happens with design is like, I mean, it depends on the job of course, but like a lot of times you are like working on your own for hours, like headphones in and like zoomed in. And like I do it myself, but like sometimes you find yourself like, oh, I don't really need to get dressed because I'm just going to be like,
in design,
you know, crunched over my computer for hours, or like, oh, I don't need to do X, Y, and Z. But like, those are the things that you, I mean, everyone's different, right? Like some people, it's like they need to put makeup on in the morning. Like I'm not saying you need to get ready as if you're going to be physically in the office, but just something so that you like can tell your body, like I'm working now. Cause I find that the mornings where I like overslept, sleep a little bit, or I like don't get to do all those like little things, like can totally like set the day off wrong, and then it just becomes chaos.
Oh yeah, you know what, I'm so happy you said that, because yeah, that's been my issue like this week, and
it happened. That's normal. Yeah,
it's so crazy because I didn't realize how much of an impact it was, because it's like, oh okay, you know, I'll just like slump and like grab my computer second I wake up, check to see what meetings I have today, and then it's like, okay, let's start the day. And that's not how to start. I'm starting to realize it's not how to start the day. And then it's like some days when I like clean and I get productive, my body's moving. I feel like I feel like the health of designers, that's something I'm personally worried about. Because it's like, if there's people like me who have no idea, who are starting to get used to this, I have no idea what will happen in the future, just for like the health of us, because it's like we're looking at a screen all day, we're in home now. And I went to the office like in person a couple of days ago, and this was like my it was so weird because I was so excited. And I went to the office, and it's like in the beginning I was good, I was set, I was like, okay, let's work. It hit like 3 o'clock, I was like, I want to be home, I miss my bed already. And I was just like, okay, if I can't make it like through one day of work, like physically, like what is that telling me? That's telling me like my body's just so used to like being in its one mode. So I think like trying to like do something to get your body moving, I think that's important.
And there's a setting. Do you know how people always wear those like blue canceling glasses? There's a setting on your Mac that will make the screen not blue. So you do not
Okay.
need to buy those
See,
glasses.
I think I
You
saw that too, because there's other things that I have too where you could change the mode of it too to make it even more yellow. And it was just like, I remember someone telling me like, oh, I bought these glasses. I was like, I'm not wearing those. I don't care. I'm a designer. Like, I'm not about to sit all day with that on. Like, I'm already in sweats. I'm not about to embarrass myself. Like,
But you can use that, get a nice chair,
ooh, a chair.
walks.
Walks
I
are
feel like
important.
now there's also all these interesting like standing desks or like the little treadmill thing you can walk on. Well, I don't know how you can design while doing it, but
That
maybe
I don't
during
know.
a call. I don't know. Yeah, there's like so many things. There's now like a kneeling chair. I don't know yet though what's the best thing for our bodies, but yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we are on our computers like for
All the
so
time.
many hours every day.
Yeah, I might do like, I don't know. I like the stand-up desk idea. I think that has been like, it looks cute, like the one with the buttons, and then it's like,
It
okay.
rises. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like fabulous. I'm like, cause and then you see all these like room tours too. You'll go on like YouTube, and they'll see like, okay, this is my desk setup, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then you look at like the prices of all these supplies, and you're like, $400 just to like have a desk. I'm like, I don't know, but then again, like it's investing in your health. That's how I see it.
Totally.
But that's all right. I'm just trying to, have fun with that, but no, it's been a hell of an experience though, like working from home. What do you feel like is the future for that? Do you feel like you're gonna be working from home like more, or do you want to see hybrid? Like, what is your idea of that?
My first job was a hybrid and I really enjoyed it because I would go to the office like two or three times a week. And it was just so nice having that lunch period to just talk to other people and to each other and even have like Friday, like a drink at the end of the day or together or whatnot. But Starface has always been remote because it's a startup and a bunch of my coworkers do live in LA, so we do have like meetups from time to time. So that's super nice. And I always like make myself go. But it seems like we're just gonna continue to be remote. Because I think what ends up happening is that when there's that pressure to go to a physical office, like people get anxious. And especially being in LA, it's like, well, where is it? What's my commute gonna be like? Like I moved into my place in April. Like if there was suddenly an office, like I would have loved to have known that prior because maybe I would have lived somewhere else in the city to be closer. Like there starts to be all these logistical issues. And then if you think about coworkers that have children and like there's just and like pets, I'm sure like COVID pets too now. So I think at least for Starface, I don't see us becoming physical. I think they've done a great job though of like having like meetups. We had a retreat. And also whenever we do photo shoots, like everyone sort of who's in town or in the town where the shoot is will like go. We've done a good effort in like that regard, but like for larger companies, I think it might be super beneficial to be in person. And yeah, it is isolating to some degree, but at the same time, like my design team is really small, so we sort of meet regularly. I don't know. I feel like we've done a good job of like it not feeling as bad, but I know that's not the same for everything. And I know like a job I had before that, I remember I suggested like, oh, can we do like coffee Zoom chats? Cause like I think having casual Zoom calls are super important. And my manager at the time was like, oh, we don't like do that. Like we only go on Zoom unless we like need to go on Zoom. And it's like,
Okay.
okay, well, I
How are we
like treat
gonna?
my coworkers like more, you know. But so it's like, yeah, finding some sort of happy Medium, but I don't know about the future. Like I truly don't know, like if we're ever gonna be like fully in person again.
Yeah,
I
that I
think,
doubt that.
yeah. And also too, I think one of the biggest pluses, because like my boyfriend owns his own startup, like he's the co-founder with two of his best friends from college, and they're only an 8-person team, but the beautiful thing is they've been able to hire people from France and from different states because they're the right person for the job. So there's no longer that limitation of like, oh, they have to live in LA and be from LA. And I know in my job out of school, when the boss that I was mentioning prior that was like looking for more diverse picks, he was very adamant about them all being from the same state. And even though we did have some employees out of state, I felt like over time he like was at least like that was his trying to at least have them all be like from in state so that we could all be in person. And like I love that idea of us all being in person, but at the same time I was like, yeah, but then there could be these like potential amazing employees, they just don't live here,
Yeah.
but you're limiting yourself. So there's like pros and cons, I guess, to both doing it and not.
I think they should have like remote, but like when you're fed up, you have like a spot to go to, like just something
Yeah.
like that. I feel like that would be like ideally.
Yeah. But you never know, because like a few months ago, Starface asked us like, oh, would we want to be ever in person? And like I was one of the few people that was like, oh, I'd love to go like 2 to 3 times a week. But then when I was talking amongst coworkers, like I didn't realize, but a lot of them just like didn't want to go at all. So
Yeah.
you really have no idea like what people's like personal preferences are.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's weird because some people are, they're just like, I'm like done. And then me, I'm just kind of, I feel like for us who have been working remotely or been to school remotely, it's like we kind of want that physical experience. And then for like adults who are older, who've been working for a long time, they're like, I have been waiting my whole life to have a friend, to have like a work from home job. It's like if it's like how new are like It's like how long have you been working in just in general, and then how long have you been working remotely? Like if you've been working remotely more than you've been working, like you get fed up, and then it's like, but then it's like if you've been working so long in all types of jobs in person, you're like fed up with that either way.
And honestly, I feel like I would have maybe answered differently if you had asked me like a few years ago when I was at different jobs. And I especially remember in some internships where like there would be days where I was in the office physically and like there was no work for me to do. So I would sit there for hours just like twiddling my thumbs, and like you can't really do anything else because it's like that's
Just sitting there.
disrespectful. So then it's like, what do you do versus like, now, if I were home, like I could do so many other things in that time.
Could just be at
But
home.
Starface keeps me busy so much that like I don't even really ever have time to do other things. So it's like maybe now I'd be fine going to the office because I'm always like having a huge to-do list. So then it's like worth, it. But if I was at a different job, maybe not. So I don't know.
No,
Yeah.
that's interesting to think about. And as far as like, I know I'm like getting into a different topic too.
No, no, no,
Like,
go ahead.
as far as like freelancing too, like, how has that been? Like, 'cause I'm trying to learn how to get into the
Yeah.
freelance world, trying to handle clients and trying to do that again. It's kind of been like not bad, but it's like, it's just interesting just 'cause it's like, I feel like every client is different, but I feel like everyone's
Totally.
perspective of like freelancing is different too. So, and my
Yeah.
ears.
No, each client is like a full hit or miss. Like you never know
Okay.
what you're going to experience until you're working with them. Or at least that's been my experience. I find though that there have been ones that I really, really enjoy, and then there are ones that I find super challenging. And sometimes it is as simple as like, it is hard to balance a full-time job with freelance. And sometimes I think what happens is when you are freshly out of school, like you don't have as much experience. And so, especially when startups are like in conception era, they go to students to help with like initial branding, A, because they don't have that much money. So then they want to like a less experienced
Dig.
person because they're not going to charge as much. But then what ends up happening is that sometimes I've found that it's like they end up asking for a lot more work than you're being paid for. And
And
sometimes for a
then
lot of work that doesn't fall under like your expertise. So I think it's just really good to set boundaries But I've always enjoyed the freelance gigs that end up being sort of long term. So like I've made a lot of websites for clients, and that's been really nice because websites take a while. So it feels like every week we do like one thing. Like the first week it'll be like they'll give me like inspo that they love, and then the second week will be me like giving them a bunch of different home pages from them to just get an idea. And then from there we start talking about the system, like how many pages, like it ends up being like a longer process. And so then by the end it's like success, like we did this. But I find that like when I have freelance gigs that are more like let's make a logo and can you make a bunch of social posts, and can you do this, can you do, like it ends up
I need
becoming
it
like
fast. Yeah.
I need it fast, I need a lot. And then I feel like it can be difficult when balancing another job versus when I've done websites, it feels like, oh, I just do one little piece and then we move on. Like, I don't know, it just feels a little bit like more balanced. Or it needs to be like really quick things. Like one of my first freelance gigs was making gifts for a nonprofit, but I really enjoyed it because they would just send me the prompt and I was given full creative freedom and I would make a bunch of sketches. They tell me which one I like and then I animate it and that was it. But it was like that one
That one
thing,
quickness.
the
Yeah,
one quick thing.
it's
It
not like
wasn't like
okay.
a bunch of stuff. I think I find that when I've the moments that I've like sold myself short because I think that this opportunity is like really worth it are the moments that I've regretted it, because that's when the client might ask for way more than I would have given someone. But the times where I've like set my pricing that I'm comfortable in and I've given myself ample amount of time to complete it are the ones that I tend to enjoy the most. Or like how I have a freelance client right now that I've really enjoyed working with thus far because they are fully aware that I work full time. And so it's only a certain amount of hours per month. So it really, it's almost like we meet, I give them feed, they give me feedback. I have 2 weeks to accomplish the next round feedback, 2 weeks.
Oh,
Like I feel like that's
see.
like a good amount of time versus when you're like being asked to send something every week, like
That's annoying. See, you're
it's
just
a
like
lot.
helping me. You're just like helping me right now, like guide myself when it comes to freelancing. Just because it's like so many people obviously like they're like, you're not experienced enough, so go work. And I have done that, but it's like when you're a person who kind of just wants like extra cash or like just money to save up and like you have these opportunities, you try to take them. Freelancing has just been really hard. But finding someone has been like even harder. But it's like there's not a lot of active freelancers. But I think what you did say, like as far as like project management and like how long the project is, I would say like projects that take a long time have made me feel less like have put me at ease just because it's not like I need a logo by like next week. I need this by tomorrow. And then you're like, you just finish your full-time job. Now you have to switch off to another mode, which is freelancing. So I think what you said is a good idea. Now I'm like, okay, what? I'm about to start changing my service list and everything. Like,
And it's important to remember that your freelance client is not your full-time job. Like, you do not need to email them at all hours. You do not need, if they need something, like you are more than like able to say like I cannot do this timeline. You know, 'cause like they are fully aware you have another job, or they are just aware that you are like a busy person, and it's always better to sound busy than not busy. So like never like I'm always like a strong, like I'm very adamant about like setting boundaries, especially for something freelance, which is something that you are choosing to do that's extra and, you know, outside of your like main job. But I think, yeah, I agree that it's not like there was no class in school that was like, this is how you should charge like for project. There's nothing like that business-wise, I think, which is really lacking in like art school in general. But I'm really thankful that I have my dad, because it's funny, like I was not really an athlete, neither were my siblings, but which would have been a dream for my dad. But I always joke that he is my coach because he has worked in advertising for decades now as a producer. But because he's worked with designers and works like in creating like budgets and finances for like shoots, which are obviously like much larger scale projects, he's been so helpful in like how I talk to clients, how I charge, like setting those boundaries. Like he's always been like my coach. Like every time I have a work question, I call him and he's very like, no, this is the way you have to talk. Like and very much like pushes that idea and all the advice I'm saying, basically, which is like, you need to be like, you have to set the boundaries for yourself because you are the one providing the service, which is like, I think hard to really understand at first. Cause especially in school, like you're so much of you is like about giving to someone else. And when you're working at a job, it's about like fulfilling a task, but like freelance starts to fit in this like different space of like, they're hiring you. And like you, and you can also put your foot down. Like I had a client not too long ago that it was an awesome opportunity and I was able to like make their site and take photography. And it was like incorporating a lot of the things that I enjoyed. But then when they wanted me to make like social posts for them, I started to get uneasy because I was like, I didn't study marketing. I'm not a social media manager. Like by no means do I know the best way to sort of like launch a brand on Instagram, for example, and like choose which post is going to go which day and at what time and what is the caption going to say. And especially now working at Starface, like that what I just described is like a three-person like job, like copywriter from the social media manager to the designer. So it's like, I'm happy that when I was doing that freelance gig, I was straight up with this person and I was like, look, I've provided you the photos, I've provided you like the design assets, but like I'm not a copywriter and I'm not a social media manager. And so it is on you to decide like what you post, when, what the caption is. Like that doesn't fall under my like expertise.
Yeah, I think that's something like we have to remember too as graphic designers. Like I feel like since I can design anything, I can do everything. But then like you get into that.
No, that's not true. And also that's not really what I was being paid for, right? So then you're trying to do like free work, which is such like free work is so common for whatever reason in our field, from as simple as like sometimes the design tests you won't get like reimbursed for, like just like everything basically. So it's important to like be an advocate for yourself.
Oh yeah, now I'm talking to you. Now that you just gave me the green light, like anytime I have a client I'm about to talk to you and just be like, hey, she's tripping. No, but as far as like finding your design jobs or like getting clients, like is it just like word of mouth? Because I feel like that's everyone. But like have you ever applied to freelance jobs? Like I don't know, I feel like that's another thing that I've seen like on LinkedIn. They'll be like, I need a freelancer. So I know that's probably different from like receiving a job from someone. So have you ever done that, or like do you know what that is, or can you explain that to me?
No, it's been a lot of word of mouth or just being recommended from like past employers of mine. But also I follow all of my classmates from school and like underclassmen, upperclassmen from RISD. And so a lot of them, including myself, like if we see an open position for literally anything, someone tends to post it on Instagram usually. So that's been a great way to like, oh, you need this? Oh, hi. Like, or
just to connect. Yeah.
Just to connect, or like I made a cookbook last fall because an ex-classmate of RISD of mine was working at a food-based nonprofit and she knew that my focus in school was cookbook, so she thought of me. But like we were not like chatting about it like on our own, like it was just, you know, because again, like art school is so important when it comes to like the skills and the connections the school will like help you get, but also like your classmates are your network, like they're the ones that are going to go off and like do wonderful amazing things. And so although school can sometimes be dramatic and there's drama and all those, like I would urge you, and my dad has also always told this to me, like never know where people are going to go. Like this is the same advice whether it's in school or the workplace, like you truly know, have no idea where anyone is going to go in their career. So just really try your best to be on good terms with everyone, because maybe 10 years down the line, they're working at Disney and you've always wanted to work at Disney. And so you hit them up on LinkedIn and like, they'll remember that you were this awesome intern at this job years ago or whatnot. So like, you never want to like burn bridges, and especially in the art world, which is like so small.
Yeah.
So
that's important. That's important.
Yeah.
This is my therapy.
And it's not always constant too. Like that's the only thing. Like people have asked me like, oh, would you ever just like do freelance like full time? But I don't think I'm at that point in my career yet where I could do that, because it's not consistent. Like it's not enough where I could feel comfortable being like, okay, I can like fully pay my rent every month.
Oh yeah.
Dependent on freelance. And then I think with freelance too, sometimes things can take longer than expected, or they want to add something more. And so sometimes you get paid later than like you initially agree upon, which is fine. Like that happens. But again, if that was my only source of income, like that would be super stressful. So that's just something I'm navigating at the moment, but maybe in like 5-10 years, I'll have enough clients that I feel like I can do that. But even so, when I worked at smaller studios where like a small studio is tends to be based off of their clients, like just because they have more, or just because they have like more consistency than I personally do on my own, like that feeling, at least from what I've witnessed from working under these like founders, is that like, it doesn't go away. Like that's still really consistent. So I don't know if I'd ever open up my own studio, honestly, or it's just been great working at a company where I am the design team within that company. Like, and our client is Starface, and that client is not going away at any point.
Yeah. Like the stability.
But I know for some people, they don't like that. Like they love working at an ad agency because the client is always changing and they feel like they are doing different things. So there's pros and cons to that. And also a lot of times, like there've been companies or businesses that I've really admired, and then I'm like, oh, like, do you have design internship? Do you have whatever? And then a lot of times they're like, oh no, we hire like an outside agency to do our design. Like nobody's doing design in house. Like, so that's definitely something that like I was surprised by when I started applying to jobs, that not everyone has a design team.
That's been interesting to see too. Like I can't imagine. I just wanted to ask too, because I ask everyone this on the podcast. Do you have any like final advice for like young designers like me or anything like that, or people starting off? I know you like said so much too. You're probably like, what else do I have to say, Lord?
No, it's, I'm more just like, God, I'm still learning myself. Like it's only I graduated 2 years ago. I think it's just important to like, and this sounds so cheesy, but just like be yourself and like make sure you're having fun and like enjoying what you're making. Cause if you're not enjoying what you're making, you're not gonna like make good work. And I think also too, it's so important in our field to like constantly be trying to learn, like even after school, like whether that's like learning a new program, like After Effects, or if it's literally just going to like art museums in your area, like. Because yeah, as soon as you graduate, like you really are
on your own,
on your own, and you're cut off from like this super creative space, and you have to sort of make those resources for yourself. And I think it's also okay to take a break and like struggle too. Like I like told myself after I finished my thesis, like, okay, I'm not gonna make anything for a year. And so I didn't. Like I didn't make anything like personal for a year, but then now this past year, I keep feeling like this urge to make something, but I'm like not sure. And so it's like, I have to just remind myself like to be more forgiving with myself. Cause like I have a full-time job. I have these other things I am making. I'm just not necessarily making something that's 100% mine, but like, that doesn't mean it won't happen eventually. Or it doesn't mean like, I still like have a Pinterest that I'm constantly adding to. So it's like, there's still like things happening in the back. It just might not be at the front. And so it's like, just to be more forgiving with yourself. Cause yeah, it's not possible to do everything. Just like it's not possible to do everything in school. It's not possible to do everything once you're working. And then you want to, you have so many other things to balance too, just in life. So
I have been eating it. So yes. Awesome. But no, I'm going to be wrapping up the podcast. You guys, hope you guys enjoyed this podcast and listen to the next one. Always remember to do what your art desires. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast and follow me on all platforms, ellodesigns.studio, and enjoy your Friday.